Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. I want to thank everyone so much for their support, and I know that together the purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that together, with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better place. In a few minutes, we'll be going to Charlie at the beautiful Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma, as well as with Michiko Hayashi in Tokyo, Japan, and Carolyn White down in Olympia to celebrate the wonderful life of Crystal Stone. She was a beautiful light worker. She passed away, unfortunately, about a week ago, but I wanted to take this time in a few minutes to celebrate her life and times. I know it's a hard time for the bookstore, but they're continuing, and they have a beautiful bookstore. I think it's the best bookstore in the Seattle-Tacoma area. And I have some special guests here in the studio as well, Joshua and Adam Biggleson, celebrating, who do the work of their father, Dr. Harvey Biggleson. And when you're down in Tacoma, they just came to this area from California. I urge you to visit their bookstore, maybe give a presentation there.
Oh, sure.
But they were on during the last hour, and we started a little late, so I wanted to give them time. So Charlie, Michiko, and Carolyn, if you could please wait just a few minutes, we'll have you on. But I wanted to wrap up this interview and give you guys a few more minutes just because we started late during the last hour. Well, Joshua and Adam, you mentioned before that when you do this holographic imaging with the blood, you can actually see the blood in a precancerous condition and then help people steer them away from cancer. That's different from traditional medicine, which typically waits until you have it, and then you get cancer. Then they use chemotherapy that's very expensive with only a 3% success rate. And then people's usually about 60 to 70% of people's estates typically on average are spent on medical care that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then but
cancer's a tough one. We look at cancer very differently. We look at cancer as a mold. Now, the thing with cancer is we had a cancer clinic in Mexico for a while. We did some great stuff. We had a 50% turnaround with stage 4 cancers alone. Cancer is a big business. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the best thing people can do is really take care of themselves, because once you get to that spot, you kind of get stuck in the system. But if we look at it as a mold, it's a question of keeping yourself balanced. There's something that Dad did. He lectured. It was in the 90s. Was he lectured with the guy? This guy that he used to lecture with, I do not know the name, but the gentleman, HIV was a big deal at that point. He would actually, to get the point across as far as being balanced, he would find a volunteer that was HIV positive in the crowd. He would stick that person with a needle and stick himself repeatedly and had never, ever contracted the virus.
Wow.
Because his body was balanced. That invasive experience could not happen to him because he was very balanced.
It's all about the terrain. So once again, with the diagnosis force, it doesn't make a difference what the diagnosis is when a person comes in. Mm-hmm. You have to find out why the body's not working properly.
Right.
And they have to make the body work properly so it can take care of itself. So as a side effect, the cancer, the circulatory disease goes away, and that's fantastic.
Here's something. We're not going to spend just a few minutes on this, but I want to introduce you to some beautiful friends of mine. Charlie at the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma. Charlie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
Wonderful. They have a beautiful bookstore. I'll give you their phone number afterwards, and perhaps you'd like, with Charlie's help, of course, you could ask him about giving a presentation. But
yes.
They're wonderful, beautiful people, and I think you'd be perfect, but I'll let Charlie decide that, of course.
Excellent.
The other friend of mine, of course, is on the line is Carolyn White. She's a wonderful hour reader, and she was good friends with Michiko, with Michiko, and as well as Crystal at the Crystal Voyage Bookstore. Carolyn, are you there?
I'm here. Good afternoon, and love to all of your viewers out there and listeners.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Michiko, thank you, Carolyn, so much. Michiko, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Ted.
Oh, it sounds like you're just standing next to me here in the studio. It's so clear.
Well, thank you. I'm in Tokyo.
You're in Tokyo, Japan, about 8,000 miles away, but I can hear you breathing, actually.
Well, I can hear you very close.
Well, yeah, and Joshua and Adam can hear your heart beating, too.
Yes.
Well, it was fascinating. I've been listening to Biggleson Brothers. Hi, Adam.
Hello, hello.
And it's been fascinating, and it really, really resonates with what we're doing in Dr. Emoto's office here.
He was such a neat guy, and it's as Michiko and I talked a little bit, and then again recently, You know, one of the biggest things that we see, which doctors, most Western medicine is not interested in, we see the emotions in the blood.
Emotion is what makes all the people diseased. When you are in a happy state, in love and gratitude state, nothing can make you disease.
Yeah, it's
because
amazing.
You're such a high vibration.
That's right. That's
it really
right.
is amazing how much emotions are such a big deal. And it's
exactly. Funny.
We know this, but you go to your doctor, and your doctor doesn't care if you're angry or sad or depressed.
Well, anger.
Depression.
Anger is normally anger is what makes anger and fear. Those negative emotions are what makes cancer. What? When you are piled up with the vibration of anger and fear, then finally your body cannot stay in balance. So it creates cancer cells and cancer. The body cannot fight. But we'll talk about it in another day.
Right. I remember that it's been a while since I've been to a doctor's office, but I'll never forget the first time when I was much younger going to a doctor's office. The first question they asked you is, how are you going to pay for this? Do you have insurance?
Oh,
what's
yes.
your bank
oh, no.
account number? Can yes. you leave a check today?
Yes.
I mean, I'm
oh,
sorry.
No.
I know it's a lot of good doctors. I'm not saying anything negative, by the way.
Well, okay.
But it's a business. It's a yes. business, and I understand they got to get paid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I'll never forget that first impression as a kid. I went to a doctor's office, and they said to me, Ted, how are you going to pay this? Do you have insurance?
Yes.
But anyway.
Yeah, it is pretty yeah. funny. People, when yeah. we had the clinic open, people were amazed at how much time our father would spend with them.
Yeah.
He needs
yeah.
to get to know the person.
Sure.
And
sure.
his hero is actually Sherlock Holmes. Okay. Our father considers wow. himself a medical detective.
Wow, that's beautiful.
We should have told the judge that's what MD stood for. And,
yeah,
you know.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, Adam and Josh, could you just stay in the studio if you don't mind?
Sure.
Just hang on, because I want to go now and devote some time to the beautiful crystal stone of the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma. In my opinion, I think it's the best bookstore in the Seattle-Tacoma area. Whenever you walk into the Crystal Voyage Bookstore, there's this beautiful. She has this Buddha there, and with waterfalls over it. And so already you're being hit by this positive water or negative ions, whatever, positive ions, but from the waterfalls there. And it's unlike any other bookstore in the Puget Sound area because you get this burst of good energy as soon as you walk in the door.
Nice.
And with that, I'd like to bring Charlie on. Charlie, hi. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Could you tell us some things about Crystal? She's such a beautiful lady.
Crystal Stone had had this store open. This was her 30th year of having a metaphysical shop in mm-hmm. the Tacoma area.
Could you please speak up a little bit, please? Yeah.
This was Crystal's 30th year of having a metaphysical store in
Beautiful.
The Tacoma area mm-hmm. in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the greatest healers I've ever known when it came to her work with Reiki and medical intuitive work.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. I know that she had a crystal bed in the back that she showed me a couple of months ago.
We do. We do. A crystal bed has 7 different crystals that are cut in the Vogel cut by Marcel Vogel that have developed that with the multiple siding crystals all tied in with the different colors representing the chakras.
Right.
Where you would lie down on the bed and it would help balance your chakras. Quite a fascinating thing. And the Buddha in the front with the water is a great connection you made. Because it's giant Kuan Yin, as soon as you walk in, with the fountain right there. And it does tie in very well with the work that Emoto did.
Guess
that positivity. Yep.
Guess who is one of Michiko, guess who one of your guardian angels is?
Hello?
Yeah, are you there, Michi?
Yeah, hi. guess
who? Guess Kuan Yin
Crystal?
Is one. No,
Kuan Yin? Oh,
Kuan
my.
Yin is one of your guardian angels, and there's one right in the...
Yeah, I have Kuan Yin at home, and she always helped me when I was so young. Yeah,
right.
I know that she is always, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. But continue, Charlie, go ahead, and then I'll give you time for others to talk.
You know, it was a very sudden passing. She passed away in her sleep, and we're all grateful for that
right.
it was something that didn't have to linger on
right.
for days like many people do. Mm-hmm. And we're picking up the pieces, and we're going to continue to have this place of light and love for the community and for all those that come to this space. And mm-hmm. we're having a celebration of her life on May 6th from 10 to 7, where we're going to have slideshows and people just to come together and celebrate her life and express what they need to express at this time of grief.
Okay. Okay. Okay, great. Great. That's on May 6th from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And could you please give the address?
And people can come in anytime. The address is 3802 South Cedar Street. Cedar is in the tree.
Okay. And that's right off of the 38th Street exit. I believe that's exit 129 or 128 off of Interstate 5 in Tacoma.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's right. That's right. Carolyn, you knew Crystal, and I'd love for you to say a few words about her as well.
So Crystal was on our Immortal Peace Project America board, and she was just such a beautiful spirit that I believe that she had such a healing energy, and she wanted to help people. And one time, Jerry and I were at the store. We did a special presentation on auras and chakras, and as part of that, everybody that was participating, we looked at their energy and their colors, and Crystal sat in, and it just beautiful, like lavender, violet energy, very spiritual energy she was emanating. One of the things, though, and then when I do presentations and it's in a public forum, when I see something that I question the energy or what's happening, I use my discretion, and I just said something about the sacral chakra, and, well, you know, we might need a little love there. And then she shared with our group such a beautiful story of how she came about having the bookstore and her store, and how she was able to really discover what her purpose in life was, mm-hmm. that it was to be of service to others and help them on the spiritual path. Because I don't know how many know that she was, years ago, she was in the financial and the brokerage industry, and she said she was very good at it, and it's very cutthroat. And then one day, it was like it hit her physically, mentally, spiritually, and she knew that she had to go into something that was more of, instead of service to self, a service to others. And so that's how she transitioned into having the bookstore. And I think that that made her very, very human. She had such a beautiful, open heart. And I think one of the things is that her legacy will live on in all the beautiful spirits and souls that she touched and help on their path to make this world a better place. She has such a beautiful smile, such a gentle energy. And, you know, her spirit is going to live on in all of our hearts. She's still with us, and I'm just very grateful that she touched my life, and she touched the life of many other people. So she will be missed, and I know that right now she is, her spirit is working for the good and the harmony of our planet right now.
Yeah, she's just as busy on the other side, and she's very happy that I'm doing this today. I got the message from her earlier this week, and it just seems so nice to have all this love helping her out. So anyway, and Michiko, would you like, I'd love to have you say some words too about.
Hi. Thank you so much for doing this. I was really shocked when I heard that she passed away, because I really loved her. She really was love. She had the most beautiful smile that I've ever seen. I've met so many people in this past many, many years, but she was one of the very few people who has such a beautiful, beautiful, pure smile. Whenever I walked into the shop, Crystal Voyage, she would welcome me with such beautiful smile, and I could tell she was love, and that that was the reason why I wanted her to be the board one of the board members of this Emoto Peace Project. And she was so beautiful that her answer was yes, without any hesitation. And she was always supporting this project before and after Dr. Emoto passed away. And that bookshop, the Crystal Voyage, is not just a bookshop. It's to me, it's a healing place. Whenever you walk in, you could feel that beautiful high vibration. You can spend hours and hours just being there, looking at things that are there, feeling that vibration, and you feel so good being in there. And it is because of Crystal providing that beautiful energy. And I really miss her, but I know that she is always with us, looking down, being happy, being a real angel now. And when I heard that she passed away, I was really shocked and I was so sad. And I spent some hours crying. Even now, my tears come out. But when I went outside, I found, I don't usually find any coins on the street, but on that very day, I found a 50 yen facing up right in front of me. And that 50 yen is like about 50 cents. And I could tell that that was from Crystal saying, don't be sad. I'm giving you this angel coin and be happy. So I smiled at her and I'm still keeping that coin. So I want to say thank you so much to Crystal. And I will, whenever I'm back in the Seattle area, I would like to go back in that shop and give my presentations. I would like to purchase some things from there too, because she's always there.
That's
thank you, Ted.
What a beautiful story. That's called Pennies from Heaven. Mm-hmm. My dad and my beautiful dad and my other spirit family, they give me pennies from heaven, where pennies materialize out of the blue, and they're always face up.
Nice.
That's
so
what
I get dimes from my grandfather.
Do you really?
Oh, wonderful! Well,
yeah, yeah, he does.
Yeah, my dad's
up, wonderful.
Upped it now. I think I get nickels, sometimes quarters now, and dimes.
Nice.
So
nice.
Beyond the pennies. So I guess so.
Moving up in the world. Cool.
It's amazing.
Wonderful. You know, remember that she always donated for Emoto Peace Project, and I thought it was a donation from her. Her place from above for Emoto Peace Project. So I still keep it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And she also donated to support my radio program, too.
Oh, for that, I'm very, isn't she? She was such grateful. A beautiful person.
Very grateful. Very grateful. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to continue on with Charlie. Charlie, I'd love to hear some more from you, too.
You know, ironically, I found a penny from 1920 this morning in the store.
You did?
Face up.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's amazing.
It was very amazing. I saw the wheat on the back, and I looked at it. It was from 1920. So thank you for both of your stories.
That's,
that is definite confirmation.
That was definitely that's from Crystal. And as Professor Einstein has told me repeatedly, God doesn't play with dice. Things that happen like that are not coincidental. There's no such thing as coincidence. Things happen for a reason.
That was amazing. Thank you both for bringing that up.
Well, my pleasure, Charlie. And again, there'll be a celebration of Crystal's life and at the Crystal Voyage Bookstore on Saturday, May 6th, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Their address is at 3802 South Cedar Street. In my opinion, I think it's the best bookstore in the Seattle-Tacoma area, and I hope you can all come. They're only about 25 minutes or so from Seattle or 20 minutes from Olympia. So they're not very far. If you are in the area, stop by anytime. They're very beautiful people. So, Charlie, is there anyone else there at your store who'd like to say some words about Crystal?
We're not at this time, but
okay.
Thank you so much
okay.
for this opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Well, I'll be there on the 6th, and
we look forward to that.
Great, great. Charlie, I hope you have a beautiful day. And Carolyn and Michiko, why don't you stay on? because I'm going to be talking a little bit about this upcoming trip to Shasta that I'll be taking a group of people. It's from June 22nd to the 27th, 2017. I'll be taking a group of people to Shasta, Mount Shasta, which is I consider the root chakra of planet Earth. It's located approximately 323 miles from San Francisco, north by northeast. It has so many powerful energy vortexes and contains entrances and portals to the hollow Earth. Last year, I took a group of people to Mount Shasta, where six people actually physically went in and visited Telos and Shambhala, the ancient Lemurian cities beneath the mountain. The history of that is very interesting. About 12,500 years ago, when the Atlanteans destroyed much of planet Earth in a nuclear war, the Lemurians didn't have much time, but they were able to get out with 25,000 of their people from their civilization and all of their technology and go underneath Mount Shasta. And they've been there ever since. I'm told that their population now is about 1.3 million. And one of the things, they've pretty much left us alone over the years. But when Fukushima happened back in March of 2011, all that radiation not only went into the Pacific, but it also ended up in the atmosphere of the planet as well. And that was a big red flag, not only to the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth and Shambhala, but also to the Galactic Alliance, which is a benevolent extraterrestrial civilization, mostly human, all benevolent. One of the things about the Hollow Earth is that they get their air from our atmosphere. And if you look at photographs that haven't been doctored, you can actually see this large hole in the top North Pole and the South Pole as well. So they suck in air from that atmosphere into their own civilizations underneath. And the upshot of all of this is that if we pollute the air with tons of radiation, guess what they get inside the Hollow Earth? They get the radiation too, and they're not very happy about that. And so it's in their interest as well as ours for us to work together to help each other. We need each other. That's what I was told. The isolation, the quarantine that this planet has been in for so many centuries now has ended, and it's opening up now. I think it'd be fun also to bring Scott back on. If we could, Eric, if you could see if you could reach him again. I had Scott on during the first hour where we brought in Ambassador Twelling, the Galactic Alliance, to get some help on chemtrails. But I think what's happening now is that the planet is shifting rapidly into the higher dimensions. And as it does shift into the higher dimensions, your work, I still have Joshua and Adam here, Beagleson in my studio. The work of the Beagleson brothers and your dad, Harvey Beagleson, will become even more important. And Charlie, your bookstore in Tacoma, the beautiful Crystal Bookstore, will become even more important because you're all in the light. And Michiko, your work too with the Emoto Peace Project and continuing the work of the beautiful late Dr. Emoto will become even more important because that's and Carolyn, your work too with auras, all of that will become more important because people, the vibrations of the planet are rapidly shooting up very, very quickly. For tens of thousands of years, the what's called is someone making noise in the background? Just curious. Okay, I can hear you if you are. For tens of thousands of years, the what's called the Schumann resonance of the planet was at 7.8 hertz, and last September it jumped up to about 13.8 hertz. Christmas time, it went up to 36 hertz. January went up to 40 hertz, and now it's at 90 plus. I'm not sure what it is now.
Wow.
Do you have a graph there, Joshua?
I was just looking. I had an article at one point that talked about when it was up to 36.
Okay.
And basically it talked about, the whole vibrational frequency of the whole world is rising.
Right.
And the article was interesting. The article kind of blamed it on Trump.
On the election.
Yeah.
That the election... It helps stimulate people's consciousness.
Woke up the world.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's it's a great thing.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But as this frequency goes up further, we are headed for the fifth dimension. And I know that. And things are going to get much, 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 much better. And one of the things about Shasta is that there's all kinds of energy vortexes there. all over the place, and portals to the hollow earth. And I've reserved a campground actually right next to one of the major portals. And when I brought my group of people down there last year, everybody had wonderful spiritual experiences. And if you want to go, just send me an email or give me a call. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The reason I want you to first contact me before you register is because I'm in telepathic contact with the people of the Hollow Earth and the Telosians, and they've asked me to get people cleared before they come. And we want basically people of the highest vibration and their spiritual protocols to follow too, including no meat eating after June 1st. And they also want you to do lots of quiet meditation. Michiko, you've been down to Mount Shasta. What did you think of Mount Shasta?
I felt the very first time when I went there, as soon as I got into Mount Shasta area, my thinking got blocked. I could not think of anything. It was really a strange feeling because I could feel the strongest energy blocking my thought. And it was really beautiful because in a way it made me feel really sleepy. I was not in any state of emotion. And then as I went up to the mountain where the vortex was, then as we were meditating, I could see the people who were in white clothes, white dress,
sure,
looking up toward us and waving, being very happy, welcoming us. And it was a really beautiful moment that the experience I had. I could not get into it physically, but I could feel, I could see them. It was really beautiful.
That's the same similar experience that I had back in August of 2015. I was a speaker at a conference there in Shasta. And mm-hmm. after the conference ended, I was camping out. The last night I was camping out in this tent in this grove of redwood trees, beautiful place up on the mountain.
Nice.
And it was about, I woke up and then I fell back to sleep about 5:30 in the morning. And during that time after I fell asleep, I went into a deep sleep. And I found myself walking around this city. It was Telos. And I still remember it in my mind now. They brought me there, and it was on a very steep hillside covered with all these trees everywhere. And everybody had these white robes on. And the men in particular had beards, these long beards. Could you imagine the kind of business a barber would have in that town? But anyway, nice. Oh, they like that. That was funny. They're listening now. But anyway, they had and they talked to me for a long time. I think it was talk about the ascension of the planet. And so then they brought me back. And at that point, I was hooked. I said, I have to come back here. You know.
Oh well, and, I was leaving Mount Shasta, then I could feel that they were waving at me and saying, well, come back. Please come back.
Beautiful.
So,
beautiful.
Yeah, that was really a beautiful experience. But as I told you, Ted, I can't remember when it was, probably about several months ago, I had this message from not Telos, but Mount Shasta itself, that Mount Shasta said that they do not want so many people coming in, just being curious about going to Mount Shasta.
That's why I'm limiting it, and that's why people have to contact me first. I get clearance first.
That's good.
So they just don't show up. So that's one of the reasons why I'm doing a little filtering on people. But
mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. So
because there's so many people who are going there because they're so curious, and because it's a tourist place, and because it's this power spot, so people come from all over the world, and dropping that negative energy in that area, and the Mount Shasta itself does not want that anymore.
Well,
they want only higher vibrational good people there.
For people who are negatively oriented, there will be things happening dissuading them from coming. Things will happen mm-hmm. in their path. That's what I've been told. But we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. And then Carolyn, you're familiar with Mount Shasta too. I'd love your thoughts as well.
Oh, I've been there many, many times from when I was actually quite young. And it has an energy there. It's a very grounding energy, which is important because the new energies that are coming in Mother Earth now, it's so important that we do ground these energies and embrace them in our body. And one of the things Mitchie said about the pollution, I think that is why it is so important that visitors to this area follow a certain protocol.
Correct.
Because we don't want to pollute the energy of this area. So that's why it's so important when going into these places to to clear oneself, to come in without, and we've talked about this before, about eating the meat that comes from the standard grocery store,
right.
That when the animals are killed, they have a great deal of fear. The adrenaline is raised, and that fear, that energy is carried forth into the food we consume. And it's the same way with our thoughts. So it's very important, like you said, that there's protocols that people need to understand in order to really appreciate this and not pollute the energy there. And that's why it's so important to be of a higher vibration, because the people of Telos, the beings of this beautiful, beautiful world, right now they need our help and assistance as well.
Mm-hmm.
They are going through changes. They're very aware of, like you said, the air pollution, the pollution from Fukushima,
right.
What is being done to Mother Earth right now. And so it's like we're coming together. It's our planet, not just their planet or... It's all of our planet.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things, too, I want to add, then I want to bring Scott. Scott, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I've been listening.
Okay, wonderful. Hold on, Scott. I want you to bring your galactic friends in. One of the things, too, that I'm sure my friends, I know you know about, is that Mount Shasta gets a lot of dumping on by chemtrails in the area. And the aluminum rates, thanks to the illegal and black programs of the government in spraying that area, aluminum rates are very, very high in the area, with the result that many trees are dying right now.
Yes.
Very trees. And it's incomprehensible to me how they can do this. It's a completely illegal program. It's never been voted on. Yeah, it's there constantly. People complain. But I've I want to bring in on Scott on this, too, that... I've meditated and I've asked my galactic friends, when's all this chemical spraying going to stop? And about 5 or 6 months ago, the number I got was 2. And I think that was not 2 centuries or 2,000 years, but 2 years. So we've got maybe a year and a half to go. I know they're working behind the scenes. And with that, I'd like to bring in my friend Scott Lemriel, who's been in direct physical contact with the Galactic Alliance for only 55 years, more than a half century. And to give your viewpoint of the Hollow Earth as well.
Well, hi. Hi, Mitchko.
Hi, Scott. Good to talk to you.
Hi. And Carolyn, who is hello,
Carolyn.
On the phone?
Carolyn. Hi, Scott.
Carolyn. And is Charlie still there, or is Charlie left? Oh, I think Charlie left, yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. I wasn't expecting this call, but I'm glad I could be here for it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really had the kinds of experiences with the Hollow Earth that other people have had. My focus has not been on that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's more on, and is continuing to be, on helping to bring about a transformation for this entire world, inner
mm-hmm.
and outer.
Mm-hmm.
And that can only be done with friends from out of town, massive numbers of them that are motivated to do this now for the first time in galactic history. So seeing an end to these things which are self-destructive, And in a way, what they're doing is ultimately self-destructive to a hidden elite, hidden government as well.
Right.
It makes no sense. You're right. It doesn't.
Right, right. One thing, my awareness,
it's because they are driven by subconscious programs that were put in them without their permission.
Right.
And their support from tyrants from off-world is no longer here.
Right.
They've been extricated out of here, but they're left with the program. So that is an issue that has to be done in a benevolent way to set these people free from being motivated to do this kind of thing. It's senseless.
One of the reasons why I brought you in today, Scott, again, I'm sorry I didn't give you an advance notice, but the interesting thing is from what I know, the people of Telos and Shambhala, the Hollow Earth, they have very advanced technology, and they're allies of the Galactic Alliance. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. They're all part of one alliance?
Anybody anywhere, inner or outer, under the crust of the Earth, in parallel dimensions where most of them are on Earth, of course have relationships with the Galactic Alliance. If they're benevolent races, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're conscious of it, and they interrelate and move around in their craft, and they have been for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
The problem has been until about 6 years ago, Earth time, there wasn't any awareness amongst the races outside of here to get more involved in changing the direction people were heading this planet, because they do observe free will. Mm-hmm. One of the things they became aware of collectively, more focused, because they went through a consciousness change themselves recently, is that the people of Earth don't have true free will, because their higher faculties of being able to telepathically look into out into the multidimensional universe and know things with certainty has been deprived people here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they're intervening, because you can't have 7 billion unconsciously driven people left alone to destroy a world that would negatively affect hundreds of billions, even trillions of beings in parallel dimensions and in other places in our solar system and out in space.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't fair. The great momentum of beings are moving in one direction, and it isn't destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about the future of Earth, I have to say I'm really not worried. But that's only because of what I know.
Sure.
My endeavors are try to share and get that across to other people so they can drop their fists and drop fear and doubt, theory and speculation, because they really are negative, artificially created emotions that are not natural to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people think that's just part of life. This is really not true.
Mm-hmm.
So any beings in the inner worlds, parallel dimensions, and there are many parallel dimensions, even where there are different Earths in this space here, kind of in a different time rate, that have massive numbers of beings living there, quite different cultures than we have here, and there are access points to go between these realities. More advanced spiritually and technological advanced races from out in our galaxy and others have long been able to traverse and have trade and peaceful relationships with worlds in many parallel dimensions before you get to what people know of as the astral plane. This is part of their technology. So to answer your question, of course they relate with each other.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. One of the things that happened last September is that several people met people from Telos, both on the mountain at a beautiful bookstore called Soul Connections in downtown Mount Shasta. And they actually, I'm told, the owner tells me, that now that's a beautiful bookstore, and I can't say enough about it. If you're driving on I-5 through Mount Shasta, be sure to stop. You could stop. There's a place called the Black Bear Diner that has wonderful food. They have wonderful vegetarian food if you ask for it. But a couple, it's like one block away, right at the, it's interesting, but right in downtown Shasta, right at the police station, between the police station on one side of the street and the Shell gas station on the other, there's a huge energy vortex there, a positive one. So visiting the police station there can be a positive experience for you. So
good to know.
Cool.
So also the second thing too, and this is not a joke, they have a big water fountain right at the police station, so you can get some of the best water in town right at the police station, believe it or not. But then a block away, There's this bookstore called Soul Connections, and one of the people on part of my group last September, he was in the store looking at different crystals, And suddenly this woman materialized out of nowhere. And she was, he said that she was from Telos. She said that, and her cheeks were broader than ours, slightly broader. She's slightly stockier. But other, they visited for a time, and then she dematerialized and left. She was there to look at the crystals. It's a great place to buy crystals. Who knows how they get the money? I don't know. I didn't know that they use U.S. dollars in the Telos. I don't think so, but they said no. I don't know where she got the money. But she comes in to look at the crystals. There was another group of people up on a meadows in the higher elevation of Mount Shasta, where they were walking up to a pool called St. Germain's Pool. And they were up there meditating. Out of nowhere, this fellow materializes and says, I'd like to join you in your prayers. And they thought, well, okay, sure, go ahead. And he had the same kind of facial features, kind of a broader cheeks, a little bit wider face. And he did prayers with them for about a half hour. And then they turned around and poof, he was gone. Like as if he went into another dimension. So that's
well, he did. He did. And there's up in that area, Ted, there are many, even when I, like you said, when I was a kid, that area, there are many interdimensional portals.
Mm-hmm.
And in essence, people, they seem to materialize and dematerialize if they're going into these interdimensional portals.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the messages that I got last year when I was there, and this is a message from the Sasquatch, is that they have a hard time finding white frosted organic cinnamon rolls on the mountain. They just don't, you know, you get pine cones and berries and huckleberries, and that's all fine, you know, but they really like those cinnamon rolls.
They've got a thing for sugar, huh?
Well, as long as it's organic, they don't like the GMO corn syrup, so you have to bring the GMO, the organic non-GMO cinnamon rolls. But if you are coming on the trip, let me know, and we'll get some cinnamon rolls for the Sasquatch. I did an interesting experiment when I was there last September. I got about a dozen, 10 to 12 different cinnamon rolls, and I put them on various places around this area where people were camping. Came back the next day, and they were all gone except for one in this one bush. And I was told that they'd come in, and they thanked me, actually. I could see them licking their chops, actually, waiting for more.
Cool.
So that's a special request from the Sasquatch. The other thing, too, that you see up there, a lot of orbs, especially at sunset, and sunset and sunrise at the very top of the mountain where they come in. People at one point one night were praying, meditating, actually, for Fukushima and the Emoto Peace Project. They were doing the Ho'oponopono, if I pronounced it correctly, Michiko. And the... these purple orbs came out, and that was, they said, I was told that was a Saint Germain who came out. There was another gentleman, I think there were two last year, who actually boarded a benevolent spacecraft from the Hollow Earth, picked him up, and spent some time, and then they came back down again. He described it as it was late at night, and he noticed a star that was very, very bright in the sky. And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon he found himself on the craft. And those things happened last year. But I want to tell you, too, and this, Carolyn, this gets back to what you said about protocols. There are certain spiritual protocols that have to be followed. And for those registering, I'll just be happy to send you. I've written up into a long email. It's about, I don't know, 5 or 6 pages. It includes no meat after June 1st because of the fear factor in meat. And also, too, when you eat meat in the United States, unless it's organic, so many times the beef and the chickens, not only do they have that fear factor in the meat itself, but also it's full of antibiotics.
And growth hormone.
And growth hormones.
Yes.
So if, for example, there was a Facebook post I saw 2 days ago that many fast food restaurants, not all, but many fast food restaurants, have so much antibiotics and growth hormones in the beef, if you order a hamburger, for example, I won't mention any names. That's a good way to get antibiotics and growth hormones if you like that. You know, maybe some people there are people out there who actually like the taste of it. I don't myself. But it's a good way to do it. I don't know what it's like in other countries, but in this country, it's like unless the meat genuinely is organic, you're gonna get that. The other thing, too, and this is something you've mentioned to me before, too, Carolyn, is that Native American hunters didn't have the same problem with eating meat that we do, not only because of the chemicals, but also anytime they killed an animal, they understood the spiritual world, and they would often have maybe a little ceremony, and they thanked the spirit of the deer or the animal, to thanking them for their meat and for sustenance. In this country, in the United States, we don't do that much anymore. But if you do eat meat, it's always a good idea just to bless the food. And like if you're eating, for example, a steak, look at the steak and thank the spirit of the cow for this sustenance. You know, and it does help. It'll help.
That is why here in Japan, even now, just before we start eating, we bless the food and we appreciate the food. Mm-hmm. And that's why we say itadakimasu. Itadakimasu means thank you for your life.
Oh, that's beautiful.
See, when you that's why it's so good to say you can eat any kind of food when you really bless it and appreciate for the life that we are having.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. You know? Well, thank you.
I wanted to say I think that's very important for people that are still subconsciously driven to do that kind of thing until they can drop that or until it becomes natural for them to not desire it anymore. I never encourage anybody to be a vegetarian except to point out certain things like we're doing on this show until they can work with the hue or some way to get rid of the subconscious drives that make that, because I can share this with everybody, and I know this with certainty. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. All of the extraterrestrial races I know of, many thousands, out in our universe and in multiple dimensions, whether they're inner Earth or parallel dimensions, do not eat anything that used to have a face.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right. No, nothing with eyes or a mother.
They just don't. They don't grow them. They don't produce animals to slaughter. It just isn't done.
Right.
There is an advantage they have over Earth people in that they have certain genomes turned on in their DNA, so they can drive also sustenance directly from sunlight, ultraviolet, infrared, as human beings. And everyone on Earth once had that ability. I would say the beings that are in bodies now on Earth once had that ability. When they get in bodies on Earth, the genomes and the DNA long ago in history were shut down so that that's passed on genetically. Makes a big problem for people when they're born here. Things don't work like they're used to having them work.
Right, right.
So we're now, all of us, going through an experience of seeing that reversed here, there, everywhere. You know, people are beginning to recover what tyrants did to them that thought they could never recover, and we're doing it anyway.
I wanted to ask this both of Michiko and Carolyn now. I know that it was one of you, I think you told me this story, that Japan's diet before the mid-19th century, before being visited by Western ships, was it mostly vegetarian and seafood? The eating of meat's been a relatively recent thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there
yeah.
was a cast of people. In fact, I know back in the 1600s that people that slaughtered and got the meat and ate the meat and did a lot of work with the leather, they were considered not really untouchables, but they were considered to be kind of a filthy class of their own. And a lot of the when there was before the age of the shoguns came in, and I think that's which he'd probably be better to give me a date on that. It seemed to me this when the Europeans came over, and of course a lot of the Europeans were meat eaters, the English and the Dutch, the Jesuits, that they were relegated to kind of live and stay with those meat eaters, and they were not up there with the society. Most of the Japanese diet then was like seafood, vegetables, and they considered eating even things like chicken or grouse or any fowl like that to be a part of this untouchable group.
Sure. Interesting. Interesting.
Because Japanese people were always eating vegetables and seafood for so many years, for so long, our internal organs are not really made for meat.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not really good at digesting meat. Mm-hmm. But because of all these meats that we have nowadays, and we eat in general nowadays, eat so much of meat, then that is one of the reasons why people get diseases, because our internal organ is not ready for the meat yet. We haven't been able to evolve yet for the meat, because genetically our internal organ is still for vegetables and seafood. I'm talking about Japanese people. It's the best that we stick with vegetable and seafood for Japanese people, physically.
Not only one of the big benefits, of course, you're a vegetarian. If you're driving around somewhere as a vegetarian and you're going through a wooded area, you don't have to stop at McDonald's or Burger King. You can just simply stop and start grazing out in a field somewhere. Look at all the things you can eat.
Another thing is that even though we eat vegetables, we should be appreciating all the energy and life that we're having from all these vegetables also, because they are still life beings, you know.
That's true.
When we pick
exactly.
the flowers from outside, they say ouch, even though we don't hear it.
Right.
They are vibrating, they
right.
have the life.
That's true.
We shouldn't be picking them or just saying that, you know, they're beautiful, and we say thank you for being there. And when we have to pick them, we just say thank you.
Right. Beautiful. Beautiful. Scott, I have to ask your friends in the Galactics, what do they eat?
Well, you know, they have certain, it's way beyond Earth science, but they're able to use devices which take molecules and rearrange them into different forms of things.
Interesting.
They don't have sewage systems.
Okay.
Anything like that is transformed into other products. They don't eat any animals or raise any animals for consumption.
Mm-hmm.
They also have many, many types of plants and fruits, much higher in protein and nutrition than we have on Earth. And they don't, of course, carry refrigerators full of dead cow steaks on trips across the stars so they can eat them on the way. It's just common sense. They just don't do this. Tyrants can do it, but the majority of them do not. They eat things and they derive energy from what they eat in a much different way than people on Earth, also because they're deriving their main source for energy and longevity, not from food at all.
Interesting.
They actually eat food as a social thing, but it's not necessary. And normal human beings don't have to eat food for nutrition. When certain genomes on people on Earth are turned back on, they won't have to either. It's really the misuse of science which has created that. And science and spirituality can turn it around.
Yeah,
that's very true, because here in Japan we have, I know some people who do not eat anything. And they stay alive, they do work, they do, they're happy, and they don't get disease. They're happy. They don't eat anything, no food, nothing.
Right. When I was at a conference at the Dominican Republic of Peace and Light last August, there was a speaker scheduled who lived solely off sunlight and water. That was it. And it's fascinating, really, when you think about plants, that they do the same thing, basically live off sunlight and water.
Photosynthesis.
Exactly.
And I don't think he came to the conference ultimately, but he was invited. But it's fascinating. Yeah.
It's interesting because over 20 years ago when Jerry and I took taking classes from Doreen Virtue, before she kind of became famous, we were doing sort of forward casting. And one of the things we came up with, and that she verified, she says, there's going to be a time in our future where we have the choice whether we want to eat food or not. And
that's
like
amazing.
Scott said, is that the eating food is going to be more of a social thing, not really that we need it for nourishment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, from a stock market perspective, sell your shares in all food companies, and because they're not going to have much of a future in the future.
As the Earth is getting to be higher and higher vibration, we do really not need to eat so much food anymore.
No, no.
Because we are becoming to be more higher vibration.
That's true. We don't need any food. We've got about less than about 20, 25 seconds left. And Scott from Los Angeles, Michiko from Tokyo, Carolyn from Olympia, and Charlie from the beautiful Crystal Voyage bookstore. I want to thank you all so much for coming on today and talking about the future of the planet as well as the upcoming Shasta trip. It'll be June 22nd to 27th. If you're interested, send me an email or call me, and I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend. Thank you so much, friends, for coming on today. Bye-bye.